Good morning and welcome. It's Ask the Pastor on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. Thanks again to the Reverend Dr. Charles Spomer, Pastor Spomer from Ascension Lutheran Church, our guest in the previous hour as we went through Acts chapter 18. If you didn't get a chance to get in, perfectly fine if you have a question about Acts, anything we studied last week, anything that may even be coming up in the book of Acts. That's fine. You know, tomorrow, I don't know if there's anything special. Pastor Ivy, anything special happening tomorrow that you can think of?
I don't know. Something. I keep getting these calls that there's maybe some kind of an election tomorrow.
Something's going on. I don't know what. But, the sooner I can put all that stuff out of mind, the better off I think we'll all be. Pastor Anthony Ivy serves at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in New Milford, New Jersey. Good friend of the program. How are you doing, my friend? I start out a little bit light here, but very serious goings on up in your part of the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that... they're not sure what to call it anymore. It's either a Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy. That it did, as everybody knows, a lot of damage here and broke a lot of people's hearts. And even right now, as I'm sitting in my home office, a local electric company truck just drove by trying to turn power on to someone else. It's been a harrowing week for us here.
Well, you're about how far from the center of the worst damage?
We're about an hour north of where a lot of the damage that has been highlighted on the news around the country, the Jersey Shore, that is, I'm from New York, and when I was a kid, that's where we used to vacation. My family, we never went to Florida or to California. We always went to the Jersey Shore because not only was it local, it was like a totally different than what we were used to being from a city. And to see the helicopter shots now, and it's gone.
What primarily caused the damage? Was it the wind or was it the storm surge?
The ocean storm surge and it combined with the wind. We, in my part of the state, the northern part, we had more problem with the wind. It knocked down trees and power lines. And I mean, the northern part of the state, it's pathetic, to be honest with you. Sometimes you don't think you live in the United States of America. We have gas rationing all throughout the northern part of the state, gas lines from the 70s. In fact, New Jersey and the counties in the north, the governor instituted odd and even days to get gas now. I mean, that's our biggest problem in the north. In the south, the central part in the south of the state, it was just the ocean water. The tons and tons, these waves just crashing on shore, the winds that combined with it. It wiped out towns. One of the towns, I knew people that lived there. The town doesn't exist anymore. Every house, every business is gone.
So what do you do?
It's one of those things where even when you tell people, well, we have to trust God that even through these bad times, he's going to be there to help. And sometimes those words just sound hollow when you're looking at families who have lost everything. I mean, even here in the northern part of the state where trees crash through homes and power has been out and people have lost thousands of dollars worth of stuff in their homes, and you'd say these things to them, and they look at you with eyes like saying, oh, yeah, right. And it's just been a really harrowing week for us here.
Well, boy, I can hear the stress.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear the stress. But are you stressed more as someone who has to live there, or are you stressed more as a pastor who has to try and bring Christ to these people who've lost everything?
It's actually a combination, I think. Bringing Christ is an easy thing, but considering that, I mean, these are my neighbors, and I know what they're going through. Sometimes even my own words sound hollow, but you continue to bring and remind them of just the love of God that we have through Christ Jesus, and to talk to them about, yes, times right now do suck, and there's no other way to put it. But we're going to work together as a people, and we're going to help one another, and we're going to strive to make things better. And that's one of the good things that has happened, at least in our area. Churches have opened their doors to cook food for people. Those churches that had power and electricity, they were able to cook for families who didn't have electricity. And passing out blankets and collecting blankets to send them to churches and to people down in the central part and along the Jersey Shore who have nothing. And with the cold weather that has come in over the last couple of days, all of these things we try to do to help people. And that's the one thing the church has done, and something as a community we've all come together to help.
Heard all sorts of odd stories coming out of the New York City area. As you said, you're a native New Yorker by birth. You know, your call is there to New Jersey, not that far from your home. About the New York Marathon and generators and all. Have we gone as a people completely out of our minds?
Well, that was something that I remember, because I here where I am in New Milford, we were out of power until Saturday morning. And listening to it on the radio, the press conference where Mayor Bloomberg said, things are bad, the Nets and the Knicks, they won't play Thursday night, but we'll have the marathon on Sunday. And I remember just looking around my cold black house thinking, what the hell is this guy thinking? And I knew from the beginning that this is we all knew it was a dumb idea, but what they need, the things and what the people of the city of New York have to go through just to run this race. I mean, streets get blocked off. They need police all over the place. They need generators to run these huge tents at the beginning and at the end of at the end of the race, and they have tents for people to check in. They have tents to feed people the night before, the big carb night. And it's like you're going to have thousands of runners come into New York City where people don't have electricity. They don't have food. And you're going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to feed the runners. We're going to over-carb them. But you people in Breezy Point that where all 111 homes were wiped out because firefighters could not get there to stop a fire.
Yeah.
You just have to wait. We have to run the race. And it was like the mayor, he was good throughout, and then these dense things come up, and it's like, what are you doing?
Now, it's probably something that they have to do, just the way our culture works. But in honesty, was anyone glad to see any politician, regardless of which level of government, show up?
I know one of my neighbors, and during the daylight hours, we're outside chatting, and they said, you know, I wouldn't really care if the governor or the president came by. I just want my power back on. And people on the shore, it's like, yeah, it's a nice thing to have the president there and have the governor come and give you a hug. You just want to be able to get to what's left of your house to get any items that you have there out. I mean, one of the issues that has not really played a lot, I think, in the national media is the looting that we had. We had a problem with looting along the shore. We had to bring in the National Guard. In order to protect people's what's left of their homes and their stuff that was left there, just to keep them from being stolen by people.
But I thought I have a story. I may not have printed it off, but wasn't the National Guard actually turned away from parts of New York City because Mayor Bloomberg had an issue with all the guns showing up?
Well, that's what when that happened. I remember when I heard the story, I think that's not a surprise. I'm surprised.
So it's serious. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it is problematic, and I know one of the local talk radio show hosts said, "Well, I wonder if he would have turned back like a case of Coca-Cola because
Well, you never know. Gosh.
I mean, there are parts of New York City where the National Guard was needed. I mean, places like Breezy Point. I mean, people can't even fathom. I mean, I've been to this community so many times, and all the houses are gone. They burnt out. And it's these places need to be guarded, and they don't have the police force in which to do that.
So how's the church responded to this? I'm sure there must be congregations of all sorts of different denominations, but especially LCMS congregations that have been displaced by this.
Here in New Jersey, a couple of the congregations that we have along the Jersey Shore, they've been heavily damaged. But their biggest concern is not so much what happened to their church, it's what happened to their people. There was one church on the shore, four members just lost their houses. And so they're trying to help the best they can to help them. The New Jersey District is working. We're working together as a group, trying to help these people who have lost so much. I mean, here in New Milford, we lost a fence and some roof shingles, and we lost power for a while. So we were fairly, I don't hate to use the word, but fairly lucky.
Yeah, you got out okay.
Yeah, we just, we're trying to help. We're trying to come together as the local churches, and not just us as LCMS churches. We have other, we have an ELCA congregation in New Milford that wants to help, and the Roman Catholic churches in town. Just coming together to do something good to help people. And I'm actually honestly, the New Jersey district has done a lot right now, keeping us all informed and trying and pulling us together. President Steinbrunn has done a very good job in that fashion here.
Well, I think for this time, for this kind of scope of disaster, I think it's providential that Tony has become the president of that district.
Yes,
I know him. I consider him to be a friend of mine, and I'm not throwing, you know, sort of cheap praise at him. I really think that, that with the heart that man has,
he's a wonderful man. He is. He came into this office, and he was. I remember being at the convention, and it was like he wasn't even prepared. He was so surprised that the convention would support him to be district president, and he's been so humble in that role since taking it. And he's really showing not only just that humbleness as president, but also as a man of God here, reminding us that our job here not just is to preach Christ crucified, but also to take that to those who are hurting. And he's empowering us and strengthening us with the word of God, the pastors and congregations, to go out and just do this. And so I know as a pastor, I'm very proud that they're very happy that he's there and helping us and being with us at this time.
Yeah, it's not just witness, but it's also mercy, and that's part of our life together.
That's right.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO@KFUO.org. Before we go to the phones, and Linda and folks, be patient, we'll be getting to you in just a moment. I'm just kind of curious about this. In a previous life, you were a newspaper reporter. So this was your vocation for a while, so you know of what you speak when I ask this question. How would you rate the coverage relative to what, say, happened back during Katrina? And how much do you think politics has to play in the coverage of this disaster? And is that to the detriment, even to the point of maybe even causing people great harm because they're not getting the resources they need?
Yeah. One of the biggest problems I know that a lot of areas of New Jersey and a lot of areas of New York City especially is this, the need for resources. I mean, people laugh at we're out of water in certain areas of New York City. We can't get water to people. Forget the whole idea we can't get gasoline to have people to drive their cars to get to work or to school. Places are out, don't have water. We ran out of water. And it's never... You don't see that on a Fox News or a CNN or you don't see anything on MSNBC, so that's okay. But it's never reported.
But isn't New York the media center of the world for all intents and purposes? Of any place, aren't the resources to deliver news to the rest of the nation all located right there?
And you would also think, and this is what I would what I looked at, is that so many reporters live here in New Jersey that work for the New York Times and all the big networks. All they have to do is open their windows to look out and see how bad it is. And these are the types of things that it's almost surprising that, well, it shouldn't be surprising, but it's a sad commentary on the state of the media nationally that these sad stories are not getting out. I mean, what happened in New Orleans, it was devastating. The one story that they never brought up during that time is the incompetence of politicians who let it happen. Here, it was our politicians are stepping out of the way and are trying to get resources in here. We can't get them. I have friends who live out west, out on the West Coast, and I spoke to them yesterday. And I said, "Yeah, we don't have gas." He says, "How could you not have gas? You're in New Jersey." I said, "Exactly." And these stories don't get out.
Let's go to the phones and talk with Linda. Linda, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Brother Rowan. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning.
I can hear in your voice that it's something we can't afford to do is let the heartache of people be our focus and the burden and the problems. And like you said, Christ crucified, and that is what they need. I mean, that sounds like it doesn't help, but, you know, their main, because I've been through some things too, and your main need is to know that God has not forsaken you, and God is still in control, and God is sovereign.
That is right.
And you need to tell them the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God that can reach them wherever they are. The love, how much God loves them, and study that word and try and pray that God can help you express his love. Because I can hear in your voice that, you know, you're letting the suffering be on your shoulders. And we have a big God. It's on him, and he can help. And just handle this like a big funeral, because a funeral is the best place where you can proclaim this wonderful message. And what an opportunity you have. So don't get hysterical. You know, keep your eyes on the ball, you know, what God needs you to do there. And, you know, you can't fix it. You're little, but God is big, and bring him into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you very much. Sometimes even pastors need to be reminded, and thank you very much for that.
I'm going to pray for you, and I love you, and God loves you. And cast your cares. God cares. He really cares. I have a son who is in heaven now for 15 years, and the only thing that comforted me is to know that God loves him, and he is sovereign. God, you know, is in control, and God can take care of our loved ones, even the ones who have gone on to heaven. He can take care of our children, and he can take care of these people. And just, you know, it's not whatever, you know, what we deem as success in the world. God, you know, it might look successful or not. The cross did not look successful. You know, it did not look like Christ was prospering, but he was shaking the foundation of hell. And remember that when God is prospering, it doesn't always look like it. So when you go out in there, go with that love of God. And so I love you all.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you very much.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, there was also some talk, just very briefly, that this damage is so widespread, and for all the things that it may be affecting, that there may actually be a good possibility of another recession nationwide because of the damage of the storm.
Well, that's something I hadn't heard, but there was a story in today's newspaper saying that the supply chain for a lot of what we would say Christmas goods may be hampered in this area. A lot of the stuff to fill out the toy stores and the Sears and the all sorts of stores would be held back a little bit, and it that may be a sad thing, but we sure pray and hope that an economy that really needs a boost right now, the last thing we need is another recession.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one bright note, I brought this up on Friday. I found this one story that in spite of all the tragedy and all the loss there, one report that came out of, let's see here, it was Christian Post is where I found this. On Friday, it said that at least New Yorkers have something to rejoice about. And I don't know if you've seen this. You'd appreciate it if you haven't seen this yet. And the one thing they are glad for is that with all this flooding, it has almost wiped out the rat population of New York.
Yes, I heard that on the radio, and I'm listening to it last week. I said, the rat population, and that may be a good thing.
I don't know, but I mean, you know, at least you got to have some sense of humor, I guess.
Yeah,
but
these
sort of things happen.
Yeah, but the people have to also remember these rats are pretty resilient. They know how to swim, so even though the tunnels were flooded, the subway tunnels, and these rats know how to swim.
Yeah, they do, and I guess the other problem is, and this is I guess part of the issue you're going to have to cope with is where there's a lot of this devastation and a lot of damage. Well, that's the kind of stuff they thrive on.
Yes.
And they don't, not, you know, not to be funny, but they breed like rats.
Yes, they do. And that's that is one of the problems, I think, they're trying to deal with on the Jersey Shore. They want to get some places cleaned up as quickly as possible, but just because of the vastness of the damage, they can't just let everyone who lived there back. So the rat issue and the vermin issue could be a big one for certain some people there.
Let's grab another quick phone call from John. John, good morning. Thanks for the call. You're on with Pastor Iovine.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Wanted to first of all offer out our prayers, of course, to you, your congregation, and the folks out there. Let you know that we are supporting you, and you know the power, most powerful thing of all is prayer. The other thing that I wanted to let you also know, and I can email this number to Roland if we need to. I do work for a company that provides power units, and one of the things that they have offered out there, and hopefully the information gets out there, is 1-800 number that they can call that could possibly help send generators over there to that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just, you know, I'm not advertising for them. I work for them, you know, as a tool and die maker. But it's just something that, you know, I think it takes, you know, the power of prayer. And people, you know, that can help move, and even if you can't do anything, maybe we feel better by trying to get out some information to people, too, you know, to help them in that way.
Well, go ahead and give that 800 number out. That's
yeah.
Fine.
Sure. That number would be, I got it right here. It's 1-800-498-2678. And, you know, that's for information and assistance. There's, you know, flooding, it can cause a lot of significant damage to electrical systems and things of that nature. And, you know, it's good to know that there's people there can make sure all that power's, you know, turned on correctly or checked correctly, things of that nature. And maybe that can help in some small way.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Thank
mm-hmm.
you very
sure.
much.
That's not a problem, and Pastor, you are in our prayers, and you know the entire coast is in our prayers also.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Have a good day,
Pastor Iovine. We've got about a minute and a half before we go to break, and if you need more time, we'll pick this up on the other side of it. But with this talk about prayer, we'll be praying for you. You're in our. What should we be praying at times like these? What words should we be using?
As the words we used yesterday, we just ask our Lord to love us and to comfort us, to build us up with the courage and the strength, not just to go on, but to take the good things that we have and to show God's love to others as well. It's the LCMS. It's not our motto, but it's what our emphasis is. It's on showing mercy, on witnessing, but how our life together is one and how God himself is a central part of that. That is what our prayers have been. That's what our prayers at my church, St. Matthew's, yesterday were all about how we are come together as one people with the love of God, empowering us, strengthening us to do good, to help others.
Must have been, I don't know. Did you have a special service yesterday for All Saints Day, or did you, what did you preach about yesterday with all this going on?
Well, I originally had an outline for an All Saints All Saints Day, as we observed it yesterday. But in the morning, I just threw it out, and I talked about the things that have happened to us, and talked about how through the tears and through the pain in our hearts, my minister of music actually said, you know, he sent me an email later on in the day, said that, you know, the half-glass-full sermon was very good. Thank you.
Pastor Anthony Iovine serves at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in New Milford, New Jersey. He'll be back in just a moment here on Ask the Pastor. Your calls, questions. We've got an email from Julie we're going to bring up next, Pastor. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be back after these announcements. Stick around. Welcome back to Ask the Pastor on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. We've been talking with Pastor Anthony Iovine about, well, he's up there in New Milford, New Jersey, about an hour north of where the worst damage was caused by, well, like you said, Pastor, was it a hurricane? Was it a storm? Was it Sandy, whatever form it was? It was devastating. And I would just mention that if you were so moved that you would want to offer some assistance in the relief efforts that are going on, go to the LCMS website, lcms.org, lcms.org. You can follow a number of the links there. You can also see some videos of what's been going on in disaster relief. And, conveniently, as you know, the Internet works, Pastor, there's a Give Now button.
Yes, thank goodness for the Internet.
Thank goodness. Well, whoever that guy was that invented the Give Now button, I want to meet him.
Yeah.
He's made life so much easier.
Yeah. That's the one thing. Also, the LCMS has really been on the ground here since before the storm actually hit. They've been in Staten Island a lot. A couple of LCMS churches in the Atlantic District, really, a lot of people lost a lot. And they've been, and LCMS World Relief and Human Care has been on the ground helping families, helping people, helping churches try to rebuild and to try to at least get beyond the destruction phase into how to rebuild. And they've been a true blessing to us. So definitely go to the LCMS.org website. Forget the Red Cross. Go to the LCMS.org website and support LCMS World Relief and Human Care.
I guess that's another shocker, another story coming out of this whole effort to relieve the people from what they're suffering, is that the Red Cross is not doing a real great job this time.
No, it's kind of odd. In some parts of New York City where there is still no power, instead of bringing food the other day, they brought essentially hot cocoa and cookies. And people are like, we haven't eaten in 3 days, and you're bringing us cookies.
Well, you know. Yeah. Again, of all places where you've got resources, you have ability, you have a density of population, you know, this should be the one place where, you know, well, one other thing I want to focus on, because there's a real sad picture taking place here now about a week after the storm. We read about, like you had said at the start, lootings, about just the whole general degradation of culture and civility.
Yes, it's been getting worse each day, especially in certain most parts of Long Island and New York City, and my part of northern New Jersey, where supplies have just run dangerously low. I mean, I talk about the gasoline aspect, and here in northern New Jersey, we have to go back to the 1970s, the old odd-even days.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, I was in a car with my father and mother on those lines for hours, and it's stunning that in 2012, they're back, and it's in New Jersey of all places, and the supply chain has just been hampered. I mean, Today was the first time I brought some recycling back to the recycling center just to get out of the house and do something different. I too have to worry about my gas; it's getting rather low in the car. But I just thought, just go to the recycling center, bring my recycling back. And as I was driving back home, the supermarket was open, so I pulled in and got a bunch of vegetables. They had just gotten a delivery, so I got some vegetables, and I went to buy to the dairy area to get soy milk, which they had plenty of, by the way. But regular milk, any kind of regular milk, there's a sign there that said no milk. And a woman standing there saying, where do we live? I mean, how could we not have any milk?
In a lot of ways, it's like a third world country now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, certain spots, it's jaw-dropping. And you didn't have milk in the supermarket in New Jersey in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Iovine, the problem is going to go on for quite a while, I guess. How much longer do you think? Well, I guess, will this become more of a story after tomorrow?
Oh, it most likely will. I mean, even up to now, with the problems in the supply chain for gasoline, there have been fights on gas lines. People tried to cut in, and there have been fights. And yesterday, in the New York Post newspaper, there was a story how out in Brooklyn there was somebody cut into line, and one of the guys that was waiting there for 3.5 hours got out of his car and just started beating the snot out of this person. Those things are happening more and more. Even in my town, people get upset. I mean, thankfully, the one thing that has power has gotten back in this area, the lines for people trying to get gasoline for their generators has lessened. But people tried to cut in line there, and fights break out. Instead of having police officers in certain communities, you have to now put them in the few open gas stations just to protect people who are online.
Oh, gracious. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727 and KFUO at KFUO.org. Here's an email for you, Pastor, that came in from Julie. She says, We need to not only pray and encourage the people affected by the storm, but we must give when and how God has blessed us. And then she also cites with that James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, which is, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?
And we have, one of the great blessings here, even people who have lost so much, whatever they've had, they've helped others. It was just down the street from me here in New Milford, and we were out of power when electricity wasn't on, and it was early last week, and one of the families that live down the street, it's an elderly couple, they're both diabetic, and they need to refrigerate their insulin, and no power, they couldn't do it. Well, someone from around the corner had a generator at the house and brought the insulin to them. What happened the next day is they ended up bringing the generator to this couple and to help them out. And these types of good things have gone on a lot. And these types of stories don't get out much because of the vastness of problems. But many people, there are many Christians, showing the love of God through their actions. And, yeah, sometimes getting the words out at this time is hard, but their actions are showing what faith is and what love of God is.
See, what you've got right now, Pastor Iveen, is you've got the presence of perspective. If you heard the couple of the stories that ran during the break, the AP Religion Roundup, where they talked about the preaching on Sunday bringing comfort was so critical for a lot of the folks in your area. But then also, the Life Issues Institute Minute came up, and Brad Mattis, who hosts that program and does a good job with the program, declared tomorrow to be the most important election in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
With the perspective that you have, what's really important about tomorrow?
Yeah, I always chuckle when I hear things like that, because it's every election cycle, it's the most important election for some reason or another. The fact is, tomorrow a lot of people won't be voting in this area. They had to move polling places, and to get to polling places, it's been a little bit difficult. And for people who have the opportunity, who have lost homes, and counties have allowed them to fill out people to fill out ballots early on. You know what people care about here? They're wondering where they're going to put their head tonight.
Yeah.
Wonder what food they're going to put on their table. I mean, are these election cycles important? Yes. As Christians, when we go to the polls, should we bring our faith with us? Should we look at candidates who believe what we believe? Should we elect them? Of course. But that's every election cycle. It doesn't just happen this year. There's going to be an election next year probably a lot more on local level. But guess what? Same issues are going to be there. And next year will be the most important election cycle in our life.
True. Have you noticed that, with the exception of perhaps reference to the moral majority or evangelicals in past elections, for some reason this election cycle has brought more religious-related political stories than any time I can recall in the past?
It's not surprising, just because of some of the things that have occurred, at least culturally. Of course, the matter of same-sex marriage has blossomed, which has really pressed the topic within those religious. I mean, it's not just Christians who oppose it. There are a lot of people who are in other religions as well, Muslims and Jews, and in opposition to it. And it's become the whole aspect of religion has become big. I mean, The one that has not gotten a lot of traction, which surprises me, is the entire aspect of religious freedom. It's being mocked by the media at times. Oh, so what the president wants to do with health care? People should just shut up and just go along. I mean, that's the type of attitude you get from the media on this. But if it was, sadly to say, if things were on the other foot and a non-liberal president was pushing restrictions on religious freedom, all heavenly heck would break loose. And it's just rather sad. I mean, even today, some of the issues regarding evangelicals going out to vote, the topic is, well, they don't want to vote for Mitt Romney. It's like, what? Have these people ever spoken to an evangelical before? Because, I mean, I know there are a bunch of them around here, and they're saying, hey, I can't wait for election day. I may not be able to find my polling place, but I'm going to walk the town till I find it.
Hmm.
And because they really want to show they want to vote. They want to live their life of faith in their every part of their lives, and this is just one way of doing it. But these issues, the media just doesn't want to really talk about them. I mean, they want to spin things negatively against those who live by faith, who believe in Jesus Christ, and it's rather sad that the media has become this way.
Well, speaking of how the media has become, just a couple of stories I pulled out to look at how silly things have been. We talked about how they're not covering in fullness of scope what's going on in your area because of the storm. But here is a story. Most Republicans believe in demonic possession. Fewer than half believe in climate change. I'm not kidding you. This is off the wire this morning.
As someone who used to be in that field, you always have to worry about the laziness of reporters. I have to be honest, that is the dumbest story I've heard in a while.
But what does that have to do with anything?
Exactly.
Other than to say, if you're a Republican, and odds are that because of evangelicals, you know, they tend to be more Christian than that. You know, you believe in scary fairy stories like demonic possession, but you don't believe in real scientific fact like global warming. You must be a dope.
I it's very funny because last week, towards the end of the week, there was, at least in the papers here in New York, in the New York, New Jersey area, the big topic, one of the topics was, well, Mike Bloomberg has endorsed Barack Obama because of global warming. And I remember talking to someone at the homeless shelter about this, and they looked at me and they said, look, the woman looked at me and said, look, she called herself the biggest liberal in the world. She said, but even liberal politicians can be stupid, and he thought this was stupid.
Well, just one question comes to mind, Pastor Iovine, and you know, if Mayor Bloomberg is a proponent of global warming and the potential damage, like, if he claims that global warming is the causality, one of the causalities of Sandy, you think a guy who believed that would have been better prepared?
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that, I mean, I haven't been able to see a lot of pictures that happened, but when southern Manhattan, the lower part of Manhattan, got flooded, one of the tunnels, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, it goes from Manhattan, the southern part of Manhattan, underneath the water to the Brooklyn side. It was flooded. It wasn't just that there was a little water in the tunnel. The whole thing was filled. I mean, it's right there on the water. If we were going to have a storm surge, would you think maybe by like a sandbag or two, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe he should get fat people to stand there and to fill up to stop the water from going in or something dumb like that. Like he'd probably do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, talk about dumb stuff. Now, to be fair, to, you know, because we certainly want to take a look at all sides here. Having criticized the media for stories like that, here's another one. It comes off the Christian Post from this morning. Evangelist claims 1.6 million Christians will write in Jesus Christ for president on Tuesday. And this is Bill Keller, and Bill Keller, you know, has a whole list of bugaboos about everybody. You know, it says here in the story he dislikes Obama because he believes that the president is a true enemy of God. And as for Romney, Keller's words aren't much kinder. The faith leader dismisses the Republicans' Mormon faith as a cult and believes that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doctrine is 100% inconsistent with biblical Christianity. Now, my only question is this, Pastor Iovine. If Christians take the advice of televangelist or internet evangelist Bill Keller and they write in the name Jesus Christ for president, what do we do if he wins?
Yeah, they're going to have a problem with that. Maybe not, because then his second coming will be here, and so then it didn't matter if he won or not, everything's done. Sometimes you even have to look at some people who are Christian. They just do and say things sometimes just to hear themselves think. I mean, look, if people want to write in Jesus Christ tomorrow in the write-in ballot, good, fine, go right ahead. I mean, one time years ago, I actually wrote in Donald Duck for a write-in because I really didn't like anybody running for a position. And when I lived in New York, so I wrote in Donald Duck. So, yeah but the reality is Christians are not going to be they're not going to write in Jesus Christ. I mean, 1.6 billion, it's just a big this guy just flapping his jaw. And to get himself
it's just remarkably silly. I think, you know, I don't write in Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse. I think it's, you know, for me, what I think is, you know, something that maybe is a better course of action. But I wouldn't criticize anybody for doing it differently. Is it if there's an open race, you know, like in the city of St. Louis, a lot of races have no opponent. I just write in my own name.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I figure if nothing else, if you know, I. Unlike Johnson, if called upon, I will serve.
Yeah. Like, if you if you get elected, your wife will hit you.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I would never run for office myself, but I think that, you know, rather than just not voting at all, it's probably more, in my mind, it's more intellectual option to vote for yourself. At least you're a real person, and, you know, who knows? The ground may open and swallow up the opponent. You might get the job.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, look at this. Now, this comes, again, this is dated yesterday. You probably heard about this because it comes out of, let's see here, St. Patrick Church in Newburgh, New Jersey.
Ah.
It's a Catholic church. You know St. Patrick's in Newburgh, New Jersey? Not to be confused with the big St. Patrick's in New York proper.
Yeah. I don't know it myself.
All right. Well, do you know where Newburgh, New York is? Newburgh, New York.
Newburgh, yes. It's north of us in New York. It's they have a small airport there.
All right. Well, here's how the story goes. After Delia Jimenez was diagnosed with ovarian cancer back in 2008, her husband, David, often prayed before a large stone crucifix outside of St. Patrick's Church in Newburgh, New York. And they are devout Catholics. The couple credited her amazing recovery from this ovarian cancer to her husband's fervent praying. Are you familiar with the story?
Yes.
Okay. They were so grateful that his wife asked the parish priest if her husband could clean the cross to show his gratitude. The parish priest, Father Scolalia, I believe is how it's pronounced, said yes. And then on Memorial Day of this year, well, what happened was David Jimenez climbed up on a ladder, and the cross, weighing about 600 pounds, fell on him and crushed his leg, which then had to be amputated. And now, and this is where I find a bit of an interesting conflict here, they credit his wife's healing to his praying devoutly to this cross, which now falls on him and takes his leg, and they're now suing the parish.
Of course. You know, you hear some of these stories, some of these goofy lawsuits, and especially this one,
you know, the parishioners there collected over $7,000 to help him out, just sort of pass the hat kind of thing, but he is now prosecuting a multi-million dollar lawsuit against the church.
Yeah.
Only $3 million.
That's right. They better start passing that hat a lot more, because they were only like $2.9 million short.
Yeah.
But it's again, and stories like this where people, they even though they're devout Catholics, but it happens in a lot of Christian faiths, if they pray in a church at a particular time, they pray at a cross or they pray at a statue, and when they're going through hard times and troubles, and then when things get better, when God answers those prayers and they get better, or the heaviness of their heart is alleviated, they put the thanks on that object, on that specific church, and they lose sight of hey, wait a minute, that 600-pound piece of marble didn't actually help you here. It was just a nice thing that was standing outside of a church. But sadly, people, and it's happened throughout history, they take the animate object and they try to give it something special. A friend of mine is a Roman Catholic. He has a part of a bone of some saint of the Catholic Church, and he like prays to it. I said, "You have got to be insane! It's a piece of bone in a little jar."
Well, that's necromancy in a sense, isn't it?
Yes, and insanity. As I tell him, you pray to Jesus Christ, you pray to the Father. That's where you pray. You don't pray to a stupid thing like that. And even with a cross, you're not praying to the cross, you're praying to God. This is a sad accident that happened to this man. Yeah, it's a terrible thing, but suing the church, you sue over everything. I mean, the person sued ever since that McDonald's thing happened years ago where the woman driving away had the hot coffee between her legs and it spilled and she got burned. Ever since then, the stupidity lawsuits have just doubled and tripled, and you just have to shake your head. Because now it's not even just stories that are just odd, like the McDonald's one. It's stories like this where you're suing a church because of an accident.
Well, and at one time, this object is an object of veneration, and the next moment, it's fallen on the guy.
That's right.
Now, I wonder if he's conflicted about what he believes now.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, I wonder if he's still a Christian. Maybe he turned back. You know, if God really hates me this much, he throws the cross on me.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But, it goes to what this radio station, now we call ourselves the messenger. We've always been the messenger of good news, but now that's now a formal moniker for us. When you put your faith in objects or anything.
That is the problem. That is why our faith is not in a piece of marble, not in a not in a wooden cross we may have around our neck. Our hope in life, our hope for the future, our hope for salvation is only in Jesus Christ, the one who came, who suffered and died, he rose and ascended to heaven. That is where our hope is in him who died for us. And to place our hope or anything in any other person or any other object is failing to see God for who he is.
And would that include presidents, regardless of which party?
Exactly. When people put so much hope in any elected official, regardless of party, regardless of position, when anyone puts so much hope in, oh, things will be better, the greatest things will happen, the oceans will stop rising, yada, yada, yada.
Hmm.
That type of hope is just, it's a fleeting. It's weak. It takes our understanding of who God is and puts it on a human being. You can't do that because there's only one that we can only have faith in. That it's the human Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it's doesn't matter how many times we say it. We have to continuously pound the pavement and talk about this. You know, and how many times we write blog posts or we write things to people, remind them all. It's the cross of Jesus Christ where our salvation was won for us, and it was Jesus who did it. It is Jesus our Savior, and that is what we constantly have to hammer home in the people's ears and pray that God uses that to build faith in hearts.
And again, that phone number that John gave us for assistance in the area of Sandy's devastation is 1-800-498-2678. Check that out if you will. Also, go to the LCMS website, lcms.org. Our guest this morning, Pastor Anthony Iovine from St. Matthew Lutheran Church in New Milford. And normally we don't do this, but we've got about 30 seconds, Pastor. Would you pray us out for the folks in your area?
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, there many times in life there's sadness and heartache fill our land, especially for those in the Northeast today, especially along here in New Jersey and in New York. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to show your mercy and grace to us by giving us and helping us through these difficult times. Embolden the hearts of your people to show this mercy and grace to us now. And we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Iovine, all the best. We will be in contact. Whatever you need from us, let us know how we can help, all right?
I shall do that. Thank you very much.
God bless you, my friend. Take care.
God be with you.
All right, guys, we're back tomorrow. Check out the LCMS website, lcms.org. Hit the Give Now button and help those folks. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.